A warning to mark our calendars for a possible financial mess on or about October 18th. I'm David Brancaccio. Democrats and Republicans in Congress remain at odds over raising the limit on government borrowing, the debt ceiling, and Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen yesterday made clear her view that the stakes are very high here. Yellen told members of Congress that the U.S. government defaulting on what it owes for the first time in history would be catastrophic for the economy and the financial system. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here with more on this.
David, Janet Yellen and Fed Chair Jerome Powell both appeared before senators at yesterday's hearing, but Yellen's comments are generating more headlines this morning. Right now, the federal government is taking extraordinary measures to pay its bills. That's projected to be exhausted in mid-October without a debt ceiling increase, and Yellen said action must come soon.
As we saw in 2011, even coming very close to the deadline without raising the debt ceiling can undermine the confidence of financial markets in the creditworthiness of the United States. It led to a debt downgrade and soaring interest rates.
Yeah, Nova, I remember that. You think Yellen's comments yesterday are changing any minds?
Well, here's an exchange with Republican Senator John Kennedy that'll give you an idea. He asked Yellen about Democrats using the budget reconciliation process to address the debt ceiling on their own. That's what Republicans say they want.
It should not be the responsibility.
I agree with that. Very eloquently put. But it's a fact, isn't it, that you and your folks just want Republicans' fingerprints on the Democrats' effort to tax, spend, and regulate America into Europe.
So, David, that's where we are, and there could be new votes to try to deal with the debt ceiling again as early as today.
Nova, thank you. This fight is one reason cited for the rattled condition of stock markets yesterday, with the S&P falling 2%, the NASDAQ falling 2.8%, the Dow losing 569 points yesterday, 1.6%, the biggest drop since May. This morning, stock index futures are up for the S&P, up 0.8%. Interest rates, which rose yesterday, are down some today, 1.5% for the 10-year rate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
You and me, let's better understand something major going on in the second largest economy these days. The power going off to millions of homes and key factories in China, many of which make the stuff that we buy. This has led Goldman Sachs to cut its forecast for China's economic growth this year by about 0.5%. Let's bring in China correspondent Jennifer Pak in Shanghai. She works for us, Marketplace. Hi there.
Hey there.
How widespread are we talking with these power cuts?
So they're mainly affecting the north and eastern parts of China, and that's where most people live and also where most of the factories are, including suppliers to Apple and Tesla.
Why is this happening? Why is the power going out?
There are several factors. So 70% of China's electricity is generated from coal. So there's now a shortage of coal. China's not mining enough because of its pledge to go carbon neutral by 2060. It's also not importing more because it has tensions with Australia. At the same time, there's a huge demand for energy, and much of that is being pushed by orders from the U.S. and Europe as those economies reopen from the COVID-19 pandemic. Chinese factories are now very busy, and all of that has pushed up the price of coal. But power plants aren't really generating more because they can't charge their customers more. Electricity prices in China are held at artificially low prices. So there's really no incentive for power plants to produce more energy.
All right, the economics at play there. Now, Chinese provinces are now rationing electricity. How are people, how are factories coping?
It's tough. I mean, we spoke to one factory worker who suddenly was told he had the rest of this week off because of the power cuts, and that might mean less take-home pay. Others, like one steel factory in northeastern Liaoning province, had no warning at all. The blackout caused its ventilators to stop working, and that sent 23 workers to the hospital for carbon monoxide poisoning. And we've heard of traffic lights going out in one area all of a sudden. The power rationing is actually mainly directed at factories, but even those inside, say, high-tech industrial parks, like a software firm we talked to, said they've had to cram employees from two offices into one just to reduce their electricity use because they managed to buy a generator powered by, get this, diesel.
Diesel. Any end in sight to this?
It's really tough to say. The production interruptions at these factories is going to make it very hard for stores in the U.S. to restock their shelves.
All right. Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pak in Shanghai. Thank you.
Thanks.
And for the first time in years, the International Energy Agency finds that fewer people around the world have access to electricity, another effect of pandemic. Marketplace's Samantha Fields has that.
The United Nations has set a goal that by 2030, everyone in the world should have access to electricity. Before the pandemic, Daniel Wetzel at the International Energy Agency says countries were making a lot of progress toward that goal, especially in Asia.
But COVID reversed all of that. And since the pandemic, we estimate the number of people globally without access to electricity increased by 2%.
Partly, IEA finds, because governments started diverting money to other things, like COVID testing, pandemic relief, and vaccination. And because pandemic restrictions kept crews from going out to do the physical work of connecting people to power. At the same time,
the pandemic revealed how important electricity is.
Vijay Modi is a professor at the Earth Institute at Columbia University.
Kids were told to study from home. Well, what if you don't have electricity?
According to IEA, the pandemic slowed progress the most in sub-Saharan Africa. Almost 80% of people who don't have electricity live in the region. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
It's the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? Don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.